Romans chapter 5, we're going to begin there, but we're not going to end there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5.
I believe, and the scripture clearly teaches it, and I'm going to show you in just a second, that if a person is born again, he is changed. If a person truly knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're no longer what they used to be. Our desires change, our attitudes change, our life changes, our soul changes. Because we have the Holy Spirit residing within inside of us. God Himself, the Creator of the universe, comes to live inside us from the very moment that we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "The Comforter will come. I've got to leave. And when I leave, the Comforter, who is me in the Spirit, He will come and reside inside of you." In the book of Acts, we see the very time that the Holy Spirit came, and we get clear teaching that the Holy Spirit resides in us as soon as we trust Jesus Christ, their Savior. And you say, "Brother Brian, I agree with that." Let me ask you a question, though. Are you living like the Holy Spirit's living inside of you? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Paul is writing the Corinthians. Here's what he writes in verse number 14. We'll start there. He says, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." He says, "I have such a strong desire that God has given to me to tell you about Jesus Christ. It's such a strong pulling that I can't get away from it. And that He died for all," verse 15, "that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." He says that from now on, as soon as you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, it no longer is about you, it's all about Him. That as we live our lives, it no longer becomes about our pleasure and about our glory, it all becomes about Him who died for us. That's what he's saying. Verse number 16, "Wherefore, henceforth, from now on, know that we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man," it's not just talking about males, it's talking about females also, "if any human being be in Christ," that means born again, trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you are in Christ, "all things," no, it says "in Him," He is a new creature, brand new, a new creation. Now you say, "Wait a minute, Brother Brian, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I didn't become a brand new creation. I didn't become brand new physically." No, you didn't. Your body may not have changed, but your innards changed. You got a new gizzard, amen? You became someone different on the inside. Remember when Nicodemus said, "Jesus, how is it possible for me to be born again? Do I climb back up inside my mama?" And Jesus said, "No, it's all about the physical birth once, but the spiritual rebirth twice." That's what Paul is saying here. If any man's in Christ, if any man's been born again, he becomes someone different inside. He's a new creation inside. Old things, old desires, old ways, old lifestyles, they are passed away. They are gone. They vamoose. Pronto, arriba, arriba. They're gone. It doesn't mean hang around. It doesn't mean stick around. It means they are gone. Old things, old ways, they are gone. Behold, all things are become new. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're no longer what you used to be. Now, are the desires still there? The temptations still there? Yes, they are. But that doesn't mean you have to get involved with them anymore. Just because Satan sticks his foot out doesn't mean you have to trip over it. When you get born again, your eyes are opened up to the reality that Satan exists and he hates you. But you don't have to live to him and bring him glory anymore. That's what it's saying. How many of you understand that's what it's saying right there? How many of you comprehend this? Okay, it's plain. I didn't write this. How many of you believe that this is God's word? That this is directly from God? So what I'm going to share with you this morning didn't come from me. Hallelujah. Because if it was up to me, I'd have written it differently. I'd have written it this way. Get right or get out. But God uses better language than I do. Hallelujah for that. So if you're a new creature, you're no longer what you used to be. So then, Brother Brian, what should that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Paul helps us to understand what that looks like. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit gave Paul these words. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Or chapter 4, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, I've preached this before. You might have heard it somewhere else also, but God's word is still relevant at every moment, at any time we hear it. Ephesians chapter number 4, the title of the message is this: A New Way of Thinking. A New Way of Thinking. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 17, we'll start there. Put your finger right there, put your pen right there. Look at me just for a moment, okay? I don't want you to raise your hands, but I want you to acknowledge this in your heart this morning. Have you been changed? Have you been born again? If Jesus Christ is your Savior, if the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, these very words that we're going to read apply to you. Here's what he says in verse 17. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord that you henceforth, from now on, you walk or live not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." He says, stop living like you used to live. When you're born again, you're no longer what you used to be. You no longer have to act like you used to be. You are a brand new creature. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look at the world around you. And all the wickedness and the filth and the nastiness, it says, you have come out from that. That's no longer who you are. Verse number 18, he describes them. He says this. He says, they have their minds, their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He describes them further. He says, their past feeling. They have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that means wicked works, to work all uncleanness with greediness. He says, listen, that is what you used to be. That's a perfect description of my lifestyle right there. That's my life before I trusted Christ as my Savior. And he says, listen, you're not like that anymore. You have come out from that. That's not who you are. I look back at my yearbooks, and my seventh grade yearbook is at the house, and the kids look at it and they laugh because, you know, how many of you remember your seventh grade yearbook picture? How many of you like to burn it? For some reason, I burned everything. Every other yearbook I had, I burned them. That one survived. And I look at that and I say, good gracious, I was good looking. No, I'm just teasing. No, I don't say that. I look at that picture and I'm thinking to myself, man, that kid has a lot to learn. But that kid in that picture is no longer who I am. That kid in that picture was headed for hell. That kid in that picture had no concept of eternity. Now here I am, lots and lots of years later, and I say, this guy in the mirror has eternity. That kid in the mirror, no, that man, old man, as I'm reminded daily, has an eternity with God because Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I no longer have to live the way I used to live, he says. All right? Look at the very next verse he says now in verse number 19, or verse number 20. He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to you this morning. He says this, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, you didn't learn these things from Christ. How Christ has taught you is completely opposite. Verse number 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you have put off concerning the former lifestyle or conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. He says, listen, you've put those things off. You've taken that jacket off. That's no longer who you are. It's gone. I've tossed it aside. That no longer defines me. That seventh grade body is in here somewhere, but it's no longer dictating to me. Verse number 22, that you have put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. See, that's where it begins. You choose what to think. You choose what to meditate on. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You're the one that chooses what you think of from now on. If you feed your mind with the filth of the world and you fill your mind with the garbage of the society, guess what you're going to think of? Filth and garbage and nastiness and selfishness. But if you fill your mind with the things of God, you fill your minds with things that are right and proper. And Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 talks about those things. Philippians 4, verse number 8. Philippians 4, verse number 8. I want you to remember that. Burn that inside your mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. It tells you what to think on. And if you'll think of those things, it will change your life. And Paul is simply saying, listen, you're no longer corrupt anymore. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You're brand new. You no longer have to do what you used to do anymore. And then here's what he says. Wherefore, and now he begins us a litany. He gives us a whole list of things that demonstrate we're brand new. And this is what I want to get to this morning. It's going to be very quick, but I want you to understand these things. Take your pens and highlight some of these issues here. Here's what he says. Verse number 25. When you're brand new, you put away lying. You stop lying. You stop being a deceiver. You stop being a lie teller. When you're brand new, you no longer have to lie to deal with life. You're no longer a liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. How many remember singing that song in school? What are you talking about? You're old, man. Your lips become truth-telling, not lying anymore. Some people are so ingrained with lying that they don't even know how to tell the truth anymore. Stop it. Putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Look at the next thing it says in verse 26, the next example of being born again. Be angry. Well, I'm born again then, Brother Brian. I get angry all the time. How many of you get angry? Particularly when you're driving. It says be angry. Yeah. Be angry and sin not. How can you get angry and not sin? See, Jesus got angry, but he didn't let it become bitterness and demonstrated by how he treated other people. I have a hard time with this one sometimes. I get angry and I want to take it out on everybody around me. That's a sin. That's what it says. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Deal with it. When you don't deal with your anger, it becomes bitterness. And you don't deal with your bitterness, it becomes cancer. And then it destroys you. Verse number 27, it says, don't give place to the devil. Bitterness resides in hell. Bitterness is from the Satan himself. Bitterness will make your life hell. When you allow anger to develop into bitterness, your life becomes abiding in Satan. You might as well just saddle up with him. That's what it says, giving place to the devil here. Verse number 28. Neither let him that stole steal no more. Some of you got a bad habit of stealing things. You see it lying around and you like it, you take it. You steal time. You steal love. You steal effort. You steal money. You steal objects. I mean, there's some people who are pitiful stealers. Theft. Thieves. We can't leave anything outside of these buildings worth anything because it gets stolen. They stole some stinking pumpkins from outside of our blue building. Somebody did. I had 6 cute little pumpkins out there. Somebody came and stole 3 of them. If you did it, I'd repent if I was you this morning. Literally stole them. We can't leave anything. People steal. If you belong to Christ, stop being a thief. Stop it. Isn't that what it says? Instead, work with your hands the thing which is good that you may have to give to him that needs. Start giving, stop stealing. Verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Get some spiritual soap and wash your mouth out. And I'm not talking about the sweet soap that you get at Bath and Body Works. I'm talking about lava soap. How many of you remember lava soap? Oh man, that was rough. One time when I was growing up, now kids, don't listen to your preacher right now. Don't do this. Don't do this at home. One time when I was a kid, my sister's 5 years younger than me, and we would park in front of the store, and my mom would go inside the store without us. This was way back when they knew how to roll windows down, okay? All right. And so we would sit in the car, and she'd be in there shopping without a problem whatsoever. And my sister was just getting old enough where she could talk. And then somebody would come walking by, and I'd whisper, and I'd say, and I'd talk her into saying an expletive to the person walking. Now, she had no idea what she was saying. But I did. And so they would come walk by and I'd just whisper and say, I want you to, and she would say it. And the person walked by would stop and look and say, because I was hiding, it's just her standing there. Now, hold on a minute. And she would do that and do that. And so finally one day, as the person came walking by, she said what I told her to say. And I was laughing, but it happened to be my mom's best friend. And she went right into the store where my mom was at. And she went in and told my mom, hey, your little girl's out in that car. And this is what she told me. My mom came unglued, came running outside to the car and screaming at my sister. My sister's looking at her like, and then she saw me down on the floorboard. Guess who got lava for dinner that night? Do you think I ever tried to talk her into saying something nasty like that again? Absolutely not. My mama warmed my mouth with that lava soap, and my daddy warmed my rear end with his hand. How many of you know I deserved it? There's some people on Facebook need their mouth washed out. There's some people in our government need their mouth washed out. There's some people in our church that need their mouth washed out. I ain't been cussing, Brother Brian. You've been thinking it. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. When you're new, when Christ has saved you, He changes your heart and He changes what comes out of your mouth. And if all you do is cuss and you're profane and nasty, you might want to check your heart and say, am I really saved? If I'm really saved, I need to get right with God and stop cussing. Stop talking nasty things. Stop saying horrible things about people. Stop being judgmental and speak words of life instead of words of death. Look what else it says here. Last part of that says, which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Calling somebody a bad name, is that edifying and ministering? It's tearing down and destroying. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's a whole series of sermons right there. Bitterness, wrath, that means revenge, anger, clamor, evil doing, horrible speaking, evil speaking, be put away from you. Dump it! Get rid of it! That's what it says. You're brand new! Will these things send me to hell? No, because you're saved. But I promise you, if you live in them, they'll make your life hell. Some of you are holding on to some things that have happened to you, and you can't let them go. And you're getting more bitter and angry and bitter and angry. And every time you see that person or you hear this whatever, and it just holds on and it holds on and it holds on, and it just takes everything you got to just step forward. Let it go. Brother Brian, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never had anything happen to you. Oh, I wish I hadn't. May I confess to you this morning, I still struggle with what happened to me as a child growing up. I still struggle with that. Every day of my life. But I praise God I'm not bitter anymore. But it still hurts. I can't be the man God wants me to be unless I finally get over it and let it go and be what God wants me to be. Because when I dwell on it and I live in it, it destroys my family. It destroys me, destroys you. I've got to let it go. Verse 32. When you're brand new, you be kind one to another. You be tender-hearted one to another. You forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet, smelling savor. You see, Brother Brian, that's a whole lot to unpack this morning. Brother Brian, I'm having trouble with stealing, and you're expecting me to do this whole other list? You're expecting me to clean my mouth? You're expecting me to clean my mind? You're expecting me to clean and stop stealing? You're expecting me to do all these things, Brother Brian? I'm not expecting you to do anything. He is, not me. I'm simply delivering to you what God expects from you according to His Word. If you're His child, this is going to happen. You say, Brother Brian, I have no desire to live that way. None whatsoever. That's not even on my radar. Then I dare say you're not even born again then.
Some of us need to be born again. Hell is hot. And it's only intended for those who don't want Jesus Christ their Savior. Now look at me just for a moment, please. I don't intend this to hurt your feelings because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, if the Holy Spirit resides inside of you, is there something different about you than there used to be? If you're struggling with some of these issues of life right here, it's okay. Because we all do. But if you're struggling, why don't you do something about it? If the Holy Spirit said, listen, stop lying, stop stealing, stop cussing, stop all these things that are not bringing me glory. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, why don't you say, yes, sir. With your help, God, I can stop. It's time to draw the line in the sand like they did in the Alamo. Colonel Travis drew that line in the sand and he said, okay, fellas, I'm on this side. I'm going to stand against the Mexican army. If you don't want to, I understand. You are free to go and escape and get out if you want to. But I am crossing this line and I'm over here and I'm drawing it. If you want to come fight with me, come on. I praise God that a whole bunch of them fellas did. But they had to hesitate for a minute, wondering, what's it going to cost me? They knew that if they crossed that line, they were going to die. But it meant more to them to die standing up for what they knew was right than to leave and be a coward. Brothers and sisters, the line in the sand has been drawn. Victory has been won. You don't have to live like you used to live anymore. It's time to cross over and stop living like the world. But the choice is yours. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You notice I didn't say be perfect. My children are not perfect. I am not perfect. My wife, she's almost there. Just ask her. No, I'm just teasing. Now, be sure to tell her I said that, okay? I need brownie points. No. Serve the Lord. Do what is right for His sake. It's worth it. It's worth it. Let's all stand together this morning. I don't know why God had me change what I've been studying all week for, but I'm glad He did. It may have just been for you, because I needed to hear what I just said. It's God's Word that said it, though, not me. Some of you are dealing with some issues that nobody else knows about, but God does. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Everybody, please. The musicians, everybody in the congregation this morning, up in the balcony. I want to ask you a very serious question this morning. Have you been born again? I'm not asking you if you've been perfect. I'm not asking you have everything together. But have you been born again? Would you just look up at me if you have been born again? Let me ask you another question. If you've been born again, are you struggling in some of these areas? May I be the first to admit in your presence, I am. And I'm sick of it.
I'm tired of it. The struggle is real. But may I give you some good news? You're not alone. God says, I love you. I want to empower you to do right. So I want to invite you this morning, regardless of your past, cross the line and say, yes, Lord, I need you. I need you. Ms. Shirley's going to begin to play. Brother Dan's going to begin to sing. I'm going to ask you, just come on. I don't care what anybody else does. You just come on. Come on and make things right with God this morning. He's spoken to your heart. Won't you come right now? Won't you come on? Come on now. Don't be ashamed. Come on now. I'm not going to signal you out. Time to surrender.